Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tausch?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no, you're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Welcome back to the Green Bay Packers Welcome to the Packers DK Met. No.
Actually, I'm okay with the second one, by the way.
Are you panicking? Free agency hasn't even started yet. It starts in an hour and 58 minutes. But you do know who the general manager is. Edition. And the... God, I love it when I get 3 hours of radio with this fella. Edition. Of Wilde and Tausch. No, Tausch is not on the show today. On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. Although I'm having trouble with my video right now, so you can't see my Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin hoodie. And, of course, everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson, the star of Bowl Stream TV. I only caught a couple of minutes. Had a lot going on yesterday. But he tried not to be a homer. We'll ask him if he succeeded. We'll explain next. And our cousin sub of the day, cousin subs we believe in better. I have to assume that he's there. I can't see him because I can't get my stupid iPad to connect. Is that Brian Bulaga's walk-up music? It is. He is the soon-to-be Packers Hall of Famer. They probably didn't want to put him in the same class as Mark Murphy, so Mark Murphy gets to go in all by his lonesome. But he does, and he is our famous friend. He is Brian Bulaga on Wilde and Tausch. Brian, good morning. Welcome. How you doing?
My buddy Jason, he's a share.
Oh, boy.
Well, this seems to be going well.
We are not hearing Bulaga. We can't get Jason on video. Other than that, everything's going great.
Tausch doesn't come to work for one day. And suddenly now, everything goes to hell.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll get connected with Brian.
Yeah, we'll have to figure that one out.
We'll go old school for a moment, and you'll have to just listen to the dulcet tones of my voice as I discuss the fact that the Green Bay Packers did not pursue Davante Adams. Never contacted him. Never showed any interest in him. And for those of us that had been, shall we say, proponents of this idea. This is what I kept saying I was worried about on this very show. I did not want to be the bearer of false hope. And just because I thought it made sense, just because he was interested in returning didn't mean that Goody was interested in him returning. And it turns out that he wasn't. So when Davante Adams signed a two-year, $46 million deal, which is a lot, by the way, with the Los Angeles Rams yesterday, I thought, thought at least there'd be a conversation, but there wasn't. Now, speaking of conversations, I'm connected to the video, and more importantly, we now hear Brian Bulaga. Brian, good morning, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? We're back.
I'm better now. Okay. Are you disappointed with the start here? Because I'll be honest, DK Metcalf on $150 million for a second-round pick, I'm not going to criticize Goody one iota. And it turns out they weren't interested in him either. According to the two people that I talked to or texted with or however you want to phrase it, the Packers never pursued him. So I'm not trying to throw cold water on Corbin Burnson Smith out in Seattle or anybody else, but that's what I was told. And there are people that I don't think would lie to me. Goody was not one of them, for the record. And then on the flip side, I was worried that all along, all that time that you and I and Bulaga, and Tausch and Homer and KBN and Jen Gabe and Chewy, we talked so much about Devontae. It made so much sense. And I was worried, well, maybe it makes sense to all of us, but not to Goody. Sure looks like that's exactly what happened. So how do you feel about the 24-hour, the free agency eve goings on yesterday involving the Packers?
Yeah, I mean, and this is no slight on DK Metcalf. I think he's a good wideout. I think he's a dynamic playmaker. But a second round pick and a 5-year $150 deal, that was never going to be something that the Packers were going to do. That was never going to be in the cards. The Steelers are in a different situation from a franchise standpoint, from a receiver standpoint, and just overall. Like, you look where they're at compared to the Packers, they're in a different place. And I think it was never gonna. Goody just wasn't gonna do that, right? And you look at the way they build the wide receiver room, and you look at the structure of this offense. Metcalf, the way he plays and what they do and how they utilize him, he's not really a fit for this scheme. And I'm not saying that you can't find ways to use him, but LaFleur's offense, these guys are interchangeable, working at different positions in the slot, out wide, in motion, and doing all these different things. I mean, DK Metcalf is a monster. He's a guy that runs vertical. You throw the ball up to him. You run deep crossers with him and deep posts. And those things are in LaFleur's offense, but those aren't what you do all the time, right? And it's just not really something that, like, you're going to go pay 5 years, $150 million for and give up a mm-hmm. two for. So,
and you felt that way all along, right? You were not, to be clear, you were never pushing for that move.
Yeah, like, I didn't think that the DK Metcalf one was something that, if it would have happened, I would have been very surprised. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll just put it that way. Like, and that's not me saying that I don't think DK Metcalf is a good player. I think he's very good, and I think for the right offense, he could be very good for it. Like, when he was in Seattle, and that's the type of offense that they played, he was very good for it. It wasn't a good fit for Green Bay, and obviously that's the way Goody approached it. Now we go to the second the second question. That's Tay. That one surprised me, and it surprises me because there were a lot of reasons why it could have worked and why it may have and why it should have worked, and it just didn't. And we saw the deal he got with the Rams, right? What was it, 23 a year? I think 1 year was essentially guaranteed, right? $26 million
guaranteed, right?
Yeah. So essentially, you know, the first year is guaranteed, and we'll see how the next year. I don't know if there's a roster bonus or whatever tied into the next. I have no idea. But regardless, 23 and some change a year. And I just don't think Green Bay was going to get to that number. And essentially is what I'm saying. And we don't even know if there was tons of communication, if there was any communication at all. So to me, it made sense. Maybe to the team, it didn't make sense. And that's kind of where we're at right now. Right. And I, as a fan now, and as someone that played with Devontae, I wanted it really bad, right? Because I know the type of value he brings to a locker room, to an offense, mm-hmm. to a young wide receiver room. So to me, I really wanted it because I'd love to see him back there and you know, bringing that experience back to Lambeau Field and to that locker room. But just wasn't meant to be, right? It just wasn't meant to be. And, you know, for Devontae, gets to stay out west. He went out there to Vegas. He's from out there. It makes sense for him and his family. I understand it from that standpoint. So, you know, you got to look at it from both sides, right? Green Bay makes the decision on their side not to even pursue it if they did at all. And Tay makes the decision on his side to stay out west. And it's a good fit for him with Stafford and that type of offense. It's the same offense that he ran in Green Bay with LaFleur. It's the same exact offense.
He's playing for LaFleur's brother.
Yes, like exactly. He's in the same scheme that he thrived in with a very good quarterback. So, like, for him, that is a very good fit. Like, that's – and he's got another great receiver with Puka and a great running back. I mean, it's a very good fit. So it's a good decision by him.
Here's the question that I have for both you and for our fans. Are you disappointed that they didn't – like, look, I'm telling you, and I feel like – you know, I don't break a whole lot of news around here, but I think if you don't have to be Sherlock Holmes to figure out that I might have corresponded with a couple people that would know what they're talking about on this. Does it bother you as a Packers fan that they didn't even inquire about him? Like, if they, like, do you feel better if they say, look, we want you back, but we're talking $18 million a year, not $23 million a year? Do you feel better if they talk to him and say, you know, here's kind of what we have in mind, and then it doesn't happen, and he goes to the Rams anyway? Or do you feel better if the Packers make a strong offer and he chooses the Rams? Because, I'm sorry, it's great that he wants to stay on the West Coast, but I don't believe that that is the deal breaker for him on where he was going. He went to the Jets, for crying out loud. So I don't know, when I look at it, you know, I don't know if you as a Packers fan should feel better, worse, or maybe it doesn't matter. But I know there's a section of the Packers fan base that when we say they were in the conversation, some of them feel better. And some of them are like, well, that doesn't matter. You didn't get the guy. Well, this isn't a they were in the conversation scenario. This was a they never talked to him scenario. So does that make you feel better, worse, or does it not matter?
Well, I'll tell you, it doesn't make me feel better. because, like, listen, and I'll just put it like, yeah, like it doesn't make me feel better just from the standpoint of the way the receiver room is right now, right? Like, I'm a fan of Christian Watson, and, mm-hmm. and I think he's good. And I've gone through the injury that he's gone through multiple times, mm-hmm. and it's an injury you can recover from. You can be good after you recover from it. It takes a while, though. So, like, while I think he will be fine and he will be back to himself, he won't be back to himself till later on in the year, if not a full year, which is correct. The end of the football season. So, like, mm-hmm. take him out of the equation now and look at the wide receiver room. And you look at what's going on in play there, it needs another addition, so to speak, right? And that's kind of where I look at the room, and I think for me, adding a guy like Tay would have been really good. So, like, the fact there wasn't even a conversation, I guess it doesn't make me feel great. You know, we talked about this way back when Mark Murphy wrote that, you know, that his last letter about urgency, this offseason. Mm-hmm. That was a big word that we talked about what does that mean? What does urgency mean? Does that mean they're going to really put the pedal to the metal in the weight room during OTAs? No, that's not what that means. That is not what that means. I can assure you that's not what that is. It means this time. It means around this time. That's what urgency means. So that's what I was expecting. Goody may have something else in mind, which
right. That's
fine. Maybe LaFleur has something else in mind. That's fine. We just have to wait and see, right? And I'm not jumping the gun on it. We'll just have to wait and see and go from there.
So one of the things we try to do around here is not be overreactionary. Like, we kind of joke about it from time to time, and we do some overreactions from time to time as a shtick. But we try not to be. And let's be honest. Free agency, the negotiating window doesn't even open for another hour and 45 minutes. So I think we probably, because I saw it, Twitter is down, by the way. It's not us that's down. It's all of Twitter, which now that I'm paying for that, I'm less than pleased.
Tough day for that.
Yeah, perfect day. And no news going on in the football world. But look, as Brian said, he may have other thoughts. He may have other places he wants to spend. I know that there are people in that building that like Trey Hendrickson a lot. Whether or not they're willing to trade for him, again, I don't know. And Goody, as is his job, isn't confiding in me or Domofsky or Bill Huber or anybody else telling him, yeah, I'm thinking we should trade for Trey Hendrickson, or I'm not interested in Devontae. Now, I wish he would have responded to my text. Maybe he did by not responding. But the bottom line is that there's a lot of ball game left, as our old pal Aaron Nagler likes to say. So it's not over. It hasn't even started. Mm-hmm. But if I'm a Packers fan, I have some apprehension about the wide receiver room. I feel like they're and look, the free agency class stinks. So you didn't go after Devontae. The other options, I mean, Chris Godwin, he's had good years. I'm not saying he hasn't, but that doesn't get you real excited. The draft class, not as good as previous wide receiver draft classes. So are they going to run it back without Watson for 2/3 of the season? With Romeo Doubs, I can tell you, I'm not the only one who doesn't know what the hell to expect from him at this point, both with the concussions and kind of the unusual behavior. Wicks and Reed, I still think have boatloads of potential, but they combined to drop almost 20 balls last year. And then Bo Melton, who I love as a person, and Malik Heath are still in the mix. But if you don't upgrade that position at all, what are your plans? Maybe it's going to be a tight end-centric offense. I don't know. But it does not appear on the surface that any major change is going to come to that room, even if you draft a guy in the third round. So here's the question that we have for today. And we'll take some calls on it on the Carbless Talk and Text line. You can always text as well. And then we'll get into the YouTube comments as well coming up. But two things. One, are you panicking already? I hope you're not.
No.
It's too early to panic. But two, as I asked Brian, are you disappointed that the Packers made no effort to bring back Devontae Adams? I'm on board with DK Metcalf, too rich for my blood, both financially and giving up a second-round pick for him. I'm not interested. And Goody apparently wasn't either. So I'm not crushing them for that. The Devontae one, and maybe you and I are biased because you played with him, and I like him a lot, and he's one of my guys. But I still feel like it made so much sense that I'm really surprised that there wasn't even a conversation.
Yeah, so like I just want to make sure that, you know, I'm clear on it and you're clear on it. Like, that's what I'm, like, disappointed in, right? Like, the fact that he didn't, it didn't get across the line isn't what I'm like,
right?
Like, so upset about, right? Like, that's not what it is, right? This is free agency. Like, anything can happen, right? Like, and that's the way this thing goes. Like, it's just that there wasn't even a conversation. That to me is it, right? Like, if there was a conversation, that's a different story, right? Like, okay, there was at least like some interest there. Like, mm-hmm. And if Tay wasn't playing at a certain level, I guess, right? Like, if he was completely dropped off, this is a different story, mm-hmm. right? Like, and to me, that's not something that I've seen from him. And this was with the Jets offense. I get, they had their own issues. But even with the Jets offense, he played well, mm-hmm. right? Like, and that's that seemed difficult to do at times. So, that's the reason why I'm a little taken back by it. Besides that, I'm not mad that they didn't get it across the line. That right. is not the case at all. So I just want to make sure that, like, when we hear people call in and text, like, that, you and I don't get crushed for saying, like, you're mad he didn't reset. No, that's not it. That's not it at all. This is the funny money season, man. Like, anything can happen. You can't be emotional about players going to different teams. Like, this is the way things happen this time of year. You gotta roll with it.
Well, we will roll with your calls and texts on the Carbless Talk and Text Line, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Are you panicking? Hopefully not. And are you disappointed, not that the Packers didn't get Devontae Adams, as Brian said, but that they didn't even show one iota of interest in bringing him back? I thought it made perfect sense. Shows what I know. Apparently, I don't know much, but that's not what the Packers were interested in. They did not pursue him, period, at all. Does that concern you? Does that disappoint you as a Packers fan? 844-770-3776. We'll get to your thoughts next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
When you tell me I'm a wreck, you say that I'm a mess. How could you expect anything less?
I'll delve into the YouTube comments here momentarily as well, but that is the Carbless Talk and Text Line, 844-770-3776. Are you panicking? It's okay to admit it if you are. We'll talk you down. Brian's as calm as a cucumber. Cool as a cucumber. And are you disappointed that there was not even an iota of interest from the Packers side in Devontae Adams? I can tell you that there was interest from Devontae Adams' side. Not saying he would have signed here if they had been interested, but there was interest, and they never called. How does that make you feel as a Packers fan? 844-770-3776. Let's talk to Robert in Pennsylvania. Robert, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jason. Hey, Blue.
How are we doing?
Good. How are you? I am not panicking, and I'm slightly disappointed that Goody didn't at least kick the tires on Devontae, but I still feel that we got the guys on this roster to succeed. And in my opinion, I think the success 2 years ago, again, when we blew out Dallas and almost had San Fran, I think that unexpected expectations from last year, it got to them a little bit because we're young. So I think this year, that receiver group, they're going to be a huge improvement. And so I think Goody may be thinking that and maybe pick up a couple other players here and there, but I think we have the guys on the roster to succeed.
How do you define succeed, Robert? Win Super Bowl 60?
Yeah, and here's how I would do it, Jason. If I was Matt LaFleur, I would call up Bill Belichick in North Carolina, and I would basically pick his brain on the Gronk-Hernandez offense, and I would make Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave superstars in this offense. Mm-hmm. And Jaden Reed could be the mm-hmm. Wes Welker, make him a superstar. And then all those other guys, Wicks, and if Romeo's around, and – Bo, Melton, let them be the role players. But we need to have the guys shine in this offense for it to succeed. And we could do that, and Jordan Love, you know, doesn't get the turnovers and throw picks. I think we could make a run.
Well, I will say this, and great call, Robert. Thanks for the call. I did talk to somebody who works in the building who suggested that that's the way Matt LaFleur should go, is the idea of running an offense that goes through the tight ends. Look, Luke Musgrave's second season, I mean, both of his seasons, right? His first season short-circuited by a ruptured kidney, and then his second season with the ankle injury, we've seen glimpses of what he's capable of, but he's got to be able to stay on the field, and he's a sick athlete at his size. There's no doubt about it. And we all know what Tucker Kraft is made of now. And if he continues on the journey that he's currently on, he's going to be a big-time stud. He's already on the precipice of that. So...
yeah,
I don't know, Brian. Are you on board with a tight end centric offense if there's no upgrades at wide receiver?
So, I'm okay with having a tight end centric offense, but here's my only thing with that. In my time in Green Bay, it's never been done. I get it. That was a McCarthy to a LaFleur scheme, but even with the LaFleur scheme, that has not been something that's been done ever. Right, it hasn't been something. And you look at the LaFleur scheme and the Shanahan scheme and the McVay scheme throughout the league. Yeah, like Kittle's been highlighted in San Francisco, but it's never been a tight end centric scheme. So what that looks like is interesting, right? Because now are we changing again? How does that look out now? That obviously is going to involve a lot of two tight end sets. That's a lot of, heavy looks. That's a lot of run game. That's a lot of play action. That could be a lot of, good looks that we're used to seeing, right? So it could work out in the Packers' favor in the long run, but it's just going to be different to see. While I think it will be something that could, be really good, I just get concerned that if you don't have the certain amount of production from the wide receiver room, it could turn around and bite you at some point, right? Like, and yes, I would love Reed or Wicks to be like Welker and Edelman. Like, yes, that would be amazing because obviously Welker and Edelman are amazing players, right? They're amazing players. Like they were awesome. Like I went competed against those guys when they were on the Patriots. They were amazing players. Like they were studs. So yes, obviously that would be amazing. But you got to see that first, right? And like you said it before the break. Like I think those guys have tons of talent. I think the potential is there. You just got to see it. So to transition to a tight end centric offense and rely on those guys to have that role. You got to see them show that they can have that role. And what that role is, you know this as well. You watch that offense in New England when they were doing that. That's dirty work. That slants over the middle. That's very – those guys were not doing the flashy work, right? Like those were not fun routes to run. They got punished a lot with Welker and Edelman with the things that they had to do. I'm not saying that Reed and Wicks won't do that, but I'm just saying that you got to be prepared to go do that. Like that's something that you have to be mentally ready to go do. So that'll be a change, and if it works out, it'll look fantastic. So we'll see how that if that is the way they go, how it works out. I think it can because we certainly have the tight ends for it. That's for sure. I think we do.
Let me ask you one other thing, and then we'll get to more calls on the other side. How challenging, you played for LaFleur for only one season, but you obviously came back and talked to the team. You know him. You've watched the film of every game he's coached. How hard is it to restructure your offense, to redesign it? I'm not saying he's got he's junking the whole thing that exists. I'm not saying that. But if that were to be the case, that he says, look, we got the guys we got at wide receiver. We're not really adding anybody. We've got two studs that we think could be really good, like, you know, as Robert mentioned, Gronk and Aaron Hernandez, without the murder side of it. How do you go about fixing or altering an offense to change the emphasis? Is that a big ask, or is that not that big of a deal?
Well, it depends on how you're looking to utilize the tight ends, right? Like, so, like, it, like, we know Musgraves is a freak athlete, right? So you can utilize him in a wide receiver type manner, right? So you can work him in the slot. You can work him technically out wide if you want to. I mean, you can do certain things in bunch formations, make him the point man, and do different things. Well, Tucker Kraft is a little more Gronk type body, a little more traditional tight end, inline tight end, hand on the ground. He's very good in the run game as well. So you could look at it that way, or you could look at it from a very traditional two tight end set, both guys hand in the dirt, motion one in the backfield, make one the fullback, and kind of do things that way, right? And those are all things that LaFleur already has in the offense that they showed last year a little bit, not as much because obviously Musgraves was out for quite a while, and they were doing a lot of, you know, they were doing a lot of one tight end sets, and it got a little dicey when Jordan Love was out and Malik Willis was in, and they did a bunch of different things, and they were running. Like, so he's just going to have to find that happy medium, because at the same time, right, well, while you want to get these tight ends involved and you want to throw them the football and get them that, you want to make sure that we're still feeding Josh Jacobs, and you want to get the run game off the ground as well. And while it sounds good that we have more tight ends on the field, to block, that also means more bodies in the box to stop the run. So, like, you have to walk this line of if we want to go heavy in having two tight ends on the field, that means they're going to put bigger personnel on the field, which then means it's going to be more difficult to run the football because we're going to be seeing seven-man boxes, and then it's, you know, we're outnumbered in the box blocking. So, like, there's a lot to consider there when you want to, you know, feature two tight ends a lot. But he's smart, LaFleur, and he knows how to scheme things. He understands, you know, matchups. Steno's very smart. He understands matchups. If that's the route they want to go, they have plenty of time now to make that decision and start, you know, tinkering with this thing in the offseason. There's going to be some changes. They're not going to be overly dramatic. But there's going to be some changes, and it's not going to be something that, like, impacts the offensive line or impact. It's going to be what impacts the tight end room, because they're going to be moved around. Probably their route tree is going to change a little bit. You know, things like that. It's going to be a little more dynamic, so to speak, right? They're going to be asked to do more. But besides that, you know, everything's going to stay the same for everyone else. But it's a matter of scheming it up. So, I mean, it can be done. It's not like we're tossing everything out the window and bringing a new thing in. It's just kind of moving pieces around to make sure if we want to feature two tight ends, we got to find the right way to do it while still making sure that the guy, you know, toting the rock that, you know, was the focal point of this offense last year still can be very dynamic again next year.
We'll continue this conversation. I know we've got a few calls on hold. There are lots and lots and lots of comments in the YouTube chat. It looks like X, Twitter, is back up. So if you want to join us over there, you can too, and join the conversation there. 844-770-3776. We'll get to more calls. Want to remind you, though, Associated Bank, whether the offense runs through the wide receiver or Josh Jacobs or Jordan Love running all the time, which we don't think we're going to see, or through the tight ends, Associated Bank is there no matter what. They've been the official bank of the Packers since they began, but they're more than just that. They're the official bank of you, making sure that they have the best customer service in the industry. They've got the awards to prove it, and I've got the experience to prove it. My guy Ben Sorensen always takes great care of us with our investments, everything we need. They are full service, and they have all the perks that you need, including credit monitor to make sure you're not a victim of fraud,
They've got early pay where you get your direct deposit up to 2 days early and over 30,000 surcharge-free ATMs. So go to AssociatedBank.com and find out what makes them different. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
We're on the Brewers.
They're really good at identifying talent. They're really good at developing talent.
Because we're on Wisconsin Sports.
This is one of the best organizations in Major League Baseball.
100.5 ESPN. Hold on. I don't want to know what it's like when you're gone. I don't want to move on. I don't want to know what it's like when you're gone for good. You're slipping through my fingertips.
A little bit, 844-770-3776. Jesse, they're keeping you busy back there. We got a lot of calls.
It's like a day after a game on a Monday here.
We're going to have Bulaga Cousin sub more times when Tausch goes on that vacation because he's not going to get nearly enough airtime today.
It could be
calls.
They just want to talk to Bulaga. That is a possibility we have.
Well, don't we all? I mean, let's be honest. He's a heck of a guy. It reminds me, I owe James Campen a text message, too, after you did your charity work with him, which was great, by the way. That was so much fun a couple weeks ago. All right, let's get back to the calls.
Can't wait for his Iowa basketball NCAA tournament preview. That'll be good.
It's funny. I don't even pay attention. So
irrelevant.
There's the preview.
Yeah, Jesse's going to make some wisecrack about the Iowa football offense, and then we'll all be awkward, and then we'll move on. All right, let's get to calls. Let's start. We are all over the map. Look at this. We started in, what, Pennsylvania?
Mm-hmm.
California, Tulsa, Dallas, Wauwatosa, Waukesha. Let's start with Isaiah in California. Isaiah, good morning. Thanks for holding on. What do you got?
Good morning, guys. First, Brian Bulaga, love you, man. Love you a lot. Thank you for being with Green Bay.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
And first, I wanted to say to everybody that's listening, all the Packer fans especially, Green Bay, our GM, if y'all know them, really, they was not about to go get DK Metcalf and give him all that money and even spend a second-round pick on him. They weren't going to do that at all when it came down to DK Metcalf. So I don't think anybody should have really been worried about that too much. It was just too much, $150 million. Green Bay's not going to do that, especially when we already know that they constantly go out and draft wide receivers in second and third rounds and stuff like that. So they will not give up no second-round pick and $150 million for 5 years. They won't do that. And DK Metcalf is a mess. That's not the type of people that are going to have in Green Bay.
Yeah. Never seemed like a fit to me either. I'm with you on that, Isaiah.
Yeah. And Devontae Adams, it seemed like he just got everything that he wanted. At first, it seemed like he was saying that he wanted to be in Green Bay in a way. Like, he was, like, encouraging Jordan Love and saying Jordan Love looked good, how he's throwing the ball and everything. Like, he was saying certain things like that. It seemed like he did want to come back out or something, but he also got everything that he wanted in Los Angeles. He wanted to be out there in Los Angeles. He got the money he wanted out there in Los Angeles. And it seemed like the Rams also get to keep that quarterback because the quarterback got a good weapon as well. So it seemed like Devontae Adams got everything he wanted. So when it just comes down to the draft on my side, it just seems like I don't know if they're going to go after an offensive weapon to help that wideout group or if they're going to continue to pick defensive weapons. And that's, in my eyes, the main struggle because we need help on one of those sides, either wideout or is, I believe the main thing people have been saying is the defensive line. Mm-hmm. And so I think those are like one of the main two things that need help out with, and then it will come down to draft. So,
well, Isaiah, you know, you expressed your appreciation for Brian, which we all feel the same as Isaiah does, and thanks for the call. But as Brian has talked about, they also need to replenish their offensive line depth. Like, not just necessarily for this season, but you got 60% of your offensive line heading into their walk years on contracts. Now, we all agree, we think that Zach Tom will get a lucrative extension, maybe not as big as Penei Sewell, but still a big extension. But what are you going to do at left tackle? Is Jordan Morgan going to step in there? Are they going to just let Rashid Walker walk in free agency? Are they going to let Sean Ryan walk the way they let John Runyon walk and the way we think they're going to let Josh Myers walk? Like, this is a team that has made the playoffs each of the last 2 years as the seventh seed, has some good things going for it, but also has some challenges from a personnel perspective. And improving the wide receiver room is going to be a challenge through free agency because there's not a lot of great options now. That's why I was, other than the fact that I like Devontae, it just made so much sense. But not to Goody, it didn't. But the other options free agency aren't great, Brian, and it's not a great draft class either. So that makes me wonder what they're going to do there.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty clear, right? And this isn't like a bad, it's not a bad strategy, but I think you just look at the way it kind of goes, like unless it's a quarterback or maybe a kicker and, you know, guys that are 30 plus, they're not coming to Green Bay. Like that's just the way, that's the way it's going to go. And whether you like it or not, that's the strategy, right? Like until this team gets to a place, I think, where Goody has it, where it is established, it is kind of clicking on its own, it's going to stay in this kind of, in this young, first contract-ish type phase. And that's where it's going to be. So for us to think, or for me to even think that a guy like Tay would even be in the discussion, maybe that's naive of me, but it was maybe wishful thinking. You know, yeah. Maybe it was wishful thinking. But, I mean, listen, and it's not me, like, knocking Goody's strategy. I mean, hey, he stuck to it. Like you said, they made the playoffs the last 2 years. They're making a transition from a Hall of Fame quarterback. That's not easy. And while they're doing it, they're making the playoffs. I know we all want more. We all want, you know, of course we all want more. We expect more from the Green Bay Packers. We all want Super Bowls and this and that. Like, I understand all that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not easy making that transition, right? Like, the Steelers made that transition from Ben Roethlisberger, and look where they're at still.
Right.
It's not easy. So let's, I'm just looking at how he's going about it, and you can't say he's wrong. So it's just, I think it's more for us as fans and kind of more nostalgic than, hey, you know, you wish he was back, but he's not, or wish the conversation was there. But you just kind of the 30 and over thing, it's probably not happening for a while now.
Another example of a 30-something that some of us thought maybe would make sense, including another Iowa guy. Our friend Matt Bowen at ESPN had suggested this guy made sense for the Packers. He is off the board as well. I will tell you who it is, and we will get to more of your calls next. With Brian Bulaga as our cousin sub of the day, it's Will D'Antash.
Brewers baseball is in the air.
It's back, and it is up, and it is gone. A walk-off homer for Vinny Capra.
Spring back into the baseball season on 100.5 ESPN, Madison's new home of the Milwaukee Brewers.
Switch on the sky and the stars glow for you. Go see the world, because it's all so brand new. Don't close your eyes, because your future's ready to shine. It's just a matter of time before we learn how to fly.
All right, we got a lot of calls we want to get to, but a little bit more news from the NFL now that, you know, Twitter's working. You did not cross over with him during your illustrious Chargers career, but you blocked him at some point in your career. Khalil Mack returning to the Chargers, 1 year, fully guaranteed $18 million for this season. Makes a lot of sense since they moved on from Joey Bosa. But that was another name that some, including Matt Bowen, had suggested might be a Packers-type pickup. Well, he's 34 years old. If they weren't picking up Devontae, they certainly were not picking up Khalil Mack. So, again, my I want Devontae did not work out. I'm assuming that me saying Trey Hendrickson's name out loud, as I saw in the YouTube comments, means that that won't happen either. But that's the next guy on my list. That's the guy I'm interested in. He seems to be about the right stuff. He's worked his tail off to become one of the best pass rushers in the league, and he is available for trade. He didn't go to Iowa. He went to Florida Atlantic, FAU. But he seems he kind of seems like an Iowa guy.
To me. He does. He kind of has that Iowa type attitude to him. But I think about him when he pass rushes with no gloves on, it kind of gives me the like, "Ugh, God, what is he doing?"
So let's do this. We'll get to more calls at the top of the 10 o'clock hour. So if you're on hold, I know there's at least four or five of you. Stay there, I promise. But Tausch brought this up too. What does that mean? For those of us that have never played offensive or defensive line, the fact that he doesn't wear gloves, does that mean he's going to have really bad arthritis and mangled fingers when he's older or what?
No, man. It's just, he just tough. Like, because, dude, with those guys, how they're, like, I mean, let's just be real. Like, when you're on the offensive and defensive line, your fingers and hands get put in places that you don't want them. And it's not that you're putting them there purposely. They just happen to go there. And the gloves are, they don't provide a bunch of protection, but they provide some padding where if your fingers get caught in between face masks and shoulder pads or face masks and face masks, it provides a little bit of protection, right? Just like some. So when you see guys with no gloves, like you just kind of look at them a little funky, like, man, what is it with this guy? All right. Like he's got a couple screws loose. But him as a pass rusher, I've seen him cause I remember going against him when he was younger. I went against him when he was at the Chargers. I went against him when I was in Green Bay. Seemed to just get better and better. And he is a heck of a pass rusher now. And it makes absolutely no sense why the Bengals would even make him they are right now as a team. Okay. Because I'll tell you what, there's one thing that you can't find in the NFL, or it's very hard to find. It's quarterbacks, it's offensive tackles, it's pass rushers, and it's corners. They're very hard to find, and when you have them, you have to keep them. So the fact that they're really willing to let one go, that's very crazy to me. But okay.
844-770-3776. We will get to your calls to top off the 10 o'clock hour after Jesse tells us about Prize Picks. Are you going to do Tausch's voice? Are you going to do your Mark Tauscher here?
Of course I am, Jason. Okay. Mark Tauscher here to tell you about Prize Picks. It's the best place to get real money sports action with over 10 million members and billions of dollars in award winnings. Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to all. You just pick more or less on at least two players for a shot to win up to 1,000 times your cash. Run your game all season long on Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states. The app is really easy to use. To create a lineup, all you have to do is pick more or less on a few player stats for your shot to win up to 1,000 times your money. Prize Picks, the best place to win cash while watching sports. Join over 10 million users and sign up today. Combine your favorite basketball players with players from baseball, hockey, esports, and more. Second half of the basketball season is here. Of course, conference tournaments all this week, and the race to the playoffs is heating up at the pro level. The best place to cash in on your favorite sports is Prize Picks. Don't miss your chance to cash in as the league's best fight for the playoff positioning goes on right now. Download the app today. Use code WI to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Oh boy, I have to do this now too. Prize Picks, run
your
game.
Well done, Jesse. Well done. All right, we will get to more of your calls. 844-770-3776. Brian Bulaga is our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.